All right, here we go. Hour number two, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you live from Las Vegas, hosting from Boston, Josh Applebaum. Coming up on the show, Dave Ross, certainly going to get to the MMA fight, big UFC card 254. But Josh, let's continue with the National Football League. When it comes to the NFC, yes, no situation, will they make the playoffs? The yes for the favorites, Seahawks, a heavy favorite, minus 2,500. Packers, minus 834. Buccaneers, 304. Saints, minus 304 as well. Bears, I was intrigued by this number, minus 228 to make the playoffs. And Rams, another favorite, minus 200. Cowboys, because of that division, they are favorite, minus 130 as a yes.
Yeah, it's crazy when you look at some of those NFC East teams. You kind of say to yourself, you know, Cowboys definitely won't make it. And then it's like, yeah, but they actually could make it because that division is so bad.
Right.
You know, what's funny. But, yeah, so obviously, again, you know, first thing I do when I look at these lists, look at the Seahawks. They're going to make it. Minus 2,500, that's such a big number. Again, I don't see much value there either way. Packers, another big number to lay there. The one that I would look at here is probably the Buccaneers and the Saints. You know, both around minus 300. I don't think that's a massive number here that we've seen. If anything, you know, looking at how Tom Brady and that team has kind of progressed, I think, to me, the way the Bucs are trending, I think they're only going to get better. The more time they have together, the more Brady can get acclimated to that system, mm-hmm. the more they get to know each other. So laying a 300 to me is really not a high price at all. I'm also intrigued a little bit by the Rams. They're minus 200 to make it. They're a weird team where, you know, and Michael Lombardi has mentioned this on Lombardi Line, where, you know, if they get injuries to key players, that could fold pretty quickly. You know, they're off to a good start here. I would worry a little bit with the Rams, almost plus 165 not to make it. That's a very tough division. Just, you know, having to battle with a bunch of other possible playoff teams as well. But Pritch, what's your take here? Any jump out to you? Are you bullish on the Bucs moving forward? To me, I look for these kind of minus 200, minus 300s that you think maybe the true odds are closer, you know, to minus 500 or minus 800. Those are the teams that I think you can take advantage of right here.
Well, sure. I mean, this is a play on quarterbacks too. I mean, you're talking about Seattle, Wilson. You're talking about Packers, Rodgers. You're talking about Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, Drew Brees with the Saints, right? And then the Bears, Nick Foles. That's where it gets interesting because they're off to a hot start. I don't think a lot of people are buying into the 5-1 record. That division to the Packers. But what is the rest of the NFC going to do? So when you look at the no plus 185 for the Bears, a little interest right there. You know, that situation intrigues me a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe that defense can carry them to the finish line, but they are shaky. They are a shaky 5-1 right now.
Yeah, I think you make a good point here, Pritch. You know, what do we know about today's NFL? It's, you know, quarterbacks, passing game, coaches as well. So that's really what I would lean on with a lot of these props here. You know, the other thing I look at is go through the schedule for all these teams. Mm-hmm. I don't have them all in front of me, but are there teams that play multiple games against the NFC East? I'm sorry, we got to beat up on the NFC East all the time, but are there any teams here that have, you know, they still have to play the Giants or play Washington or play Dallas or play the Eagles. That's something you always want to take into account as well. So I would map out with these teams, what does their schedule look like the rest of the way? And will that benefit them? Or do they have a tougher schedule moving forward? So again, to me, you make me pick one right now. Bucks minus 304 to make the playoffs. I think that line might even be a little bit low.
Another reason why Cowboys minus 130 on the no is plus 110. Cardinals, though, you're the situation with the Cardinals, the pricing on this one, plus 110 as a yes, minus 130 as a no.
Yeah, that's intriguing. You know, they're kind of right there on the edge. That's pretty much a coin flip as you look at it right now. With the Cardinals, obviously, you like what you see with Kyler Murray, and they have a you know, good offense here. I think the one thing that might hurt them is losing Chandler Jones. Will that defense hold up? I got to admit, though, you know, I bet on the Cowboys and got humiliated there that Monday night, but Buda Baker, Pritch, talk about just an incredible, I mean, that's like vintage Rodney Harrison back in the day. So maybe he can keep them up there, but what's your take, Pritch? Do you know, if you look at this spot here, do you expect the Cardinals to make the playoffs?
You know, Vance Joseph is a Buff teammate, national champion with me out there at CU, and you know, he got fired at with the Denver Broncos, right? And kind of trying to redeem himself, if you will, out there with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. He's got a quiet defense that's playing very, very well. I think people are starting to take note of that defense. Buda Baker in particular, the highest paid safety, I believe, in the National Football League. But he's got that defense playing the way that he wants. He wants to fill the gaps, or fog the gaps, as he likes to say, and get after it. Blitz, pressure, cover. He's an aggressive style coach, so he's got that outfit playing that way. You know, you look at that division too. San Francisco's bringing up the rear now. I mean, they're last in that division, which is crazy, as they made the Super Bowl last year. But that's a highly competitive division, and I think the Cardinals are surprising some folks this year so far.
Yeah, really, that NFC West, polar opposite of the NFC East. And I think, you know, just kind of mentioning a couple of teams here, looking at games this upcoming weekend, Seattle and Arizona. You know, Seattle would match that, what I call the Holy Grail system, road favorite off a bye. Again, cashed with Detroit last week. So if you like Seattle, that's a reason to lay the points. But I got to be honest, I'm intrigued by Arizona here. You know, okay. Seattle, they open, depending on where you're looking, -3.5, even some -3s up to -3.5. But everything I'm seeing here, Arizona, I know it's a short week. And the one thing you say here is it is a big rest tired advantage, where Arizona short week, Seattle off a bye. However, what is the market telling you? Heavy, heavy public game here to Seattle. They're getting about 2/3 of bets. Russell Wilson is an auto bet for average Joes, and you really can't blame them for that. However, Seattle, 3.5. This number looks like, if anything, it's going to fall back down to 3. And I can't stress this enough. Look at the juice. When anytime you see a number that has a hook or is on a key number, which way is the juice trending? So a lot of these books here are +3.5 Cardinals at -120. That's telling you that the next move will likely be down to a 3. So if the Cardinals keep up here and you see these 3.5s evaporate and it's painted 3 across the board, that's a pretty valuable spot. Arizona playing well, divisional dog with a line move in their favor, getting the hook. 3-point game, that hook might come up huge.
Yeah, you know, another big game on the schedule too, Josh, are the 49ers, as they are 500 right now within that division. We just talked about how competitive that division is. The 49ers is a yes to make the playoffs, +155, -189 is a no. They got a big game coming up this weekend.
Huge game. Mm-hmm. And as we, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Pritch, because I'm seeing a further move here to the San Francisco 49ers. You know, anytime you see a West Coast team going east, you really don't want that 1 o'clock start, because that's a big, you know, your body clock is off, and that's a tough situational spot where you lean on that East Coast team that's hosting that West Coast team going east. But this is a 4:25 game. So I think you can kind of, it mitigates that advantage there to the East Coast team a little bit. But I got to tell you what, Pritch, a lot of sharp action is pouring in on the San Francisco 49ers. This game opened New England at -3. You know, some books were weirdly closer to like New England -5.5. I think that's probably more of an outlier. But the -3 Patriots, the line yesterday got down to 2.5. And guess what? Today just went down to 2. So that's pretty big, because anytime a number goes 3 to 2.5, the next move is key, because does it go back to 3? At which case you would say, okay, probably the Patriots took in some money, -2.5. They can win by 3, gets back up to 3. But no, this line is moving further to the Niners here with Jimmy G coming back to New England. The line's now down to 2. Again, this reminds me a little bit of that Bears game going to Carolina last week, where the Bears opened +3 and it got down to 2.5, 2. Same situation here with the 49ers. So that move is big, down to 2. If you're bullish on the 49ers, and the Patriots have been in a weird spot lately, not practicing and COVID concerns, looks like Jimmy G, the galloping chicken, as we like to call him in New England here, Pritch, the one that got away, add him to the list with Mookie Betts. Big money coming in here on San Fran.
Well, Belichick gave him away. What, second round pick, I think. Originally, that price was a first rounder, but then the Tom Brady situation, Tommy, and Robert Kraft, that situation kind of materialized. So that didn't happen. Bill Belichick didn't get his way. He would be saddled right now with Jimmy G as a starting quarterback, looking at trying to get back to the Super Bowl. Let's get on to some of these specials, too, from BetMGM. These specials are intriguing to me. Let's start with passing, regular season passing yards. Matt Ryan, when you think about the situation that he's in right now, the weapons that he has, this seems logical. +300, His current total is 1,843 yards. But here's the guy that could be the passing leader at the end of the year. Russell Wilson, everybody's certainly on him as a plus 400. Mahomes, plus 500. But we've seen a shift there with Kansas City's offense getting more towards or leaning more towards a rushing attack here, trying to avoid being one-dimensional, if you will, with Patrick Mahomes. So I wonder about your thoughts on those prices as well as the numbers with these quarterbacks.
Yeah, so obviously you talk about, you know, who are the best quarterbacks on this list, you know, Wilson, Mahomes, so that's who you gravitate to. But I think your two best bets here would be the favorite Matt Ryan plus 300 and Deshaun Watson plus 500. Okay. And I'll tell you why. Number one, I like when I'm betting, and again, I don't bet a lot of these props here to me. They're much tougher to navigate than I think, you know, capping, you know, just, you know, regular season games here. But one thing I would say to like Ryan and to like Watson, if I'm betting this, I want a team that's not very good, that's going to be in a lot of games where they're behind, where you're going to have to throw the ball and you're going to have to rack up yards. And that's where I see, you know, Ryan and Watson both on teams that have been, you know, very poor this year, have a porous defense, are in a lot of high scoring games and need to throw the ball and rack up these yards. So that's what intrigues me in this situation. And again, Mahomes is awesome. Wilson is a little more intriguing because his defense isn't that great. So they are in a lot of high scoring games where he has to throw the ball. But to me, Ryan and Watson, give me a decent quarterback on a bad team who's going to be behind a lot, who's going to have to air it out and score points. I think that's where the value lies here.
What about Aaron Rodgers, 16-1? Just because I bring him into this, you know, if the Packers are going to win, if they're going to get back to the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers is going to take them there. He's going to have to take over games. Now, does that mean you're one-dimensional? Yeah. Can you still throw the ball to the backs out the backfield? Absolutely. But Aaron Rodgers sitting at 1,374 yards, sizable difference if you look at Matt Ryan and his stats, but still plenty of football, though, for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, definitely plenty of football left. You know, he's in a bit of a hole. You know, what is he, 400 yards behind the leader there, Matt Ryan, 450 even. But that's a good point, Pritch. You know, and again, look at their receivers. You know, you want a good receiving cast. And again, I think you make a great point, too, with Mahomes. It's like that team is becoming, want to be, you know, two-dimensional. You don't want to be just a passing team. So Mahomes is like a better player on a better team. But yet, if you're looking only for this prop bet here, that actually might hurt him. The fact that they, you know, got Le'Veon Bell and they're going to run the ball more. Although with Bell out of the backfield, you may get some passing yards there. But I think it's a great point, Pritch. You look at kind of their, you know, what type of personnel they have and what type of game they play. But I'll stick with these bad teams who have to throw it a lot, who will be down in the fourth quarter and just have to spread it out and throw it.
Okay, regular season rushing yards, Derrick Henry, he's a favorite, minus 115. Dalvin Cook, plus 600. I don't know when he's going to be returning, how he's going to be. Edwards-Helaire, 11-1. And Elliott, 14-1.
Yeah, this is intriguing too. To me, this is Derrick Henry's award to lose.
Right.
You know, if you had jumped on him early in the year, he's just, and by the way, Pritch, if you're ever really bored, go to Derrick Henry's high school statistics. I somehow fell into a rabbit hole. I saw a tweet about that, and it's like he rushed for like 400 yards a game. It's ridiculous. So that's a whole nother story here. But I actually think that Derrick Henry minus 115 is not a bad number. I actually expected maybe he'd be a little bit more of a favorite there. And I think that goes into, obviously, with running backs, it's all about can they stay healthy. You have one injury, miss a couple games, automatically you're behind the eight ball. But Henry is just a train, a wrecking ball here. And the way the Titans play the game behind Vrabel and, you know, Tannehill, still airing it out a little bit, but really leaning on that running game. To me, that's where I would lean here. Cook injury, you know, you have to keep an eye on that. But Pritch, what's your take? Can anyone beat Henry? And if anyone can, who's it going
to
be?
Well, it's interesting. You know, if you go back to Aaron Rodgers, his numbers are the way that they are because of a bye. Okay, you look at some of these other running backs, they've had a bye, like Josh Jacobs, for instance, coming off a bye. So you wonder what he jumps up to, what his total is going to be at this point. And does that change the odds? Certainly. And like you mentioned, injuries, like Dalvin Cook missing a game like he has, right? And what is that going to do for his stats? Edwards-Helaire, probably not because of Le'Veon Bell now. I think he's going to get fewer carries. Aaron Jones is interesting, you know, from his production and what he's done so far. But nobody really stands out. It is Derrick Henry. I mean, he leads the way. That guy is incredible right now. And that's a wormhole. That's a YouTube wormhole when you get sucked in that way and you start watching those videos. Receiving yards, DeAndre Hopkins plus 400. I think that right there, probably, I'm not going to say lock, but that's as close as you can get, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think, you know, he's out to a pretty decent lead here, although Robbie Anderson has been very intriguing.
I know.
I'm old school. I play a season-long fantasy league with all my buddies from high school, and I got Robbie Anderson late, and I'm like, Robbie Anderson, let's just keep it going, baby. He has been great in that offense here, but I agree with you. I think Hopkins is really the one here. You know, you look at – I'm a little intrigued by DK Metcalf, you know, in his second year, obviously physical specimen, really being one of the top receivers for Russell Wilson. I think that's something to look at. But Pritch, let me ask you, you know, you see some young players here, some rookies, Edwards-Helaire in the running back situation. Jefferson's been great.
Jefferson.
CeeDee Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, did any of these jump out to you? And let me ask you too, do you ever, your rookie year, did you hit a wall going from college to the pros? Did those later week 10, week 12, week 14 games, did it become harder for you, or did you get more acclimated?
I got more acclimated. I was forced into it. We were on a playoff run. And you got people like Bad Moon Rising and others, Deion Sanders, right? I mean, there was no way I was going to hit a wall as we were trying to make the playoffs. Coming up next, we're going to get into something that might be influencing a line. It's officiating in the National Football League. Josh Applebaum and his market insights. He's always on Officials. That's coming up next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. To Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Josh Applebaum is out there in Boston. Josh, some of the market insights that you provide includes information about officiating, in particular officials for games, whether it's the NBA or NFL. But so big part of the outcome when you think about officiating. We've seen a massive line movement already in a key game this week. No surprise. Maybe. I don't know. You'll have to inform me here. Pittsburgh and Tennessee, you're noticing a massive line movement here. And then when I tell you the officiating crew, maybe you might be surprised. Maybe you won't be surprised.
Yeah, so Pritch, first off, just in terms of officials and how to treat them as a sports bettor, to me, I don't think officials should ever be the main reason that you bet a game. But I do think you should take them into account and use them as another box to check off when you're deciding to place your bet. So for example, we like talk about the NBA, Scott Foster. He's really big to the over, calls a lot of fouls. Joe West, when it comes to baseball, he's really big to road teams. He likes to kind of get the wrath of the home crowd against him. So again, don't bet things only because of refs and officials, but make sure you're at least aware of it. And ideally it checks off the boxes that you're already leaning on to begin with. So real quick here, Pritch, big line movement here. Pittsburgh and Tennessee Titans. This is going to be one of the biggest games of the weekend. A 1 o'clock start, two undefeated teams. And we saw this line open with Pittsburgh listed as around a two and a half point favorite across the board. Some books were at two, and it's been pretty much static the whole time. But guess what? Sharps really just made a move big on the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans just fell from +2.5 all the way to -1. That's a pretty massive move where the line is moving in their favor, even though a slight majority of bets here are laying the points with the Steelers. Steelers have obviously looked great, but so have the Tennessee Titans. The Titans, they're only 2-3 ATS, but this is a very clear, sharp reverse line move, even though the public's on Pittsburgh. Literally, the last 10 minutes or so, big sharp action has come in, hit the Titans, caused this line to go to -1. It may even go to -1.5 the way it's trending.
Wow.
But Pritch, what do you think with matchup-wise, maybe why do you think you're seeing respected money hit the Titans? How do you break down this really big game between undefeated teams?
Well, Sean Hockley is doing the game. He's at 13 penalties per game. He's actually the lowest on the list when you look at officiating crews and some of the games this weekend. You know, this line movement is Wednesday. I'm surprised. I think maybe some information might come out because, you know, teams haven't even started preparing yet. You know, this was the first day of practice, really, if you're gearing up for this game. And yet you saw a line movement like this. I'm waiting for something, Josh, because I can't explain that. I mean, why wasn't unless the number is bad, unless people capped it and they saw that the number could be bad. I mean, but there's no information about this game yet. So I'm curious to see if anything comes out later this week or even later today.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out something. I mean, you look at injury-wise, you did have two injuries, but we already knew them. You know, Taylor Lewan tore his ACL, good lineman there, good tackle for Tennessee, but also Devin Bush with the Steelers, their young inside linebacker, he is out as well. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on here, but I think the key is, you know, and we see this all the time. Remember the Colts-Browns game where that was kind of like a pick 'em early in the week? It went to Colts minus 2.5. And then late, it actually closed at like Browns minus one or minus 1.5. So I'm kind of seeing a similar sort of thing here. You know, obviously today's only a Wednesday. We'll monitor this as it moves throughout the week. But it's pretty notable here to me. This is a clear, sharp play to Tennessee because public says, give me the Steelers. Give me Big Ben. They're playing great. They're laying a very short number here. But this line's moving to Tennessee. What happens as we progress throughout the week? Is this a head fake? Does it go back to the Steelers? Does it move further to Tennessee? But as of now, it looks pretty clear based on this move that the Titans are taking in sharp money.
Help me understand that sizable move, though, because you're going from, what, a home dog to a home favorite now, and a team that you're playing is playing decent football. Got Big Ben, the legendary kind of quarterback right there. I'm not going to say Hockley is influencing this. Now, I played when his dad was officiating, so trying to date myself right there. But by the way, is this a family business thing too, officiating? I'm not getting this. Sean Hockley doing this game, but that big line movement, Josh, I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm definitely surprised as well. And, you know, kind of the way I see this game is, you know, books are moving money. Books are moving lines based on respected money coming in. So that's just one thing to talk about. You do make a good point, though, Pritch. Going through zero isn't as big as maybe like, you know, a team going like we saw with this Jets game with the Bills. The Bills are like minus 12, minus 10.5 up to minus 13. So going through zero, it's not as big as kind of your other line moves across the board. But it is notable to me. You're seeing a dog to favorite type situation. I always look at dog to favorite spots. Again, even though you're going through zero, it's not as big.
Yeah.
That tells me that you had big money come in. And again, it was never key number of three.
Right.
It was 2.5, 2, 1.5, 1.
Yeah.
But it's definitely clear here Titans are taking in money.
Well, let's get to Dave Ross, a segment that we're excited about. UFC 254. Dave Ross joins Betting Across America. That's coming up next. Coming up on Tuesday, October 27th, we will live stream the entire Circa grand opening event exclusively on VSiN.com, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, going all through the night and leading up to the first broadcast of Follow the Money from our new studios inside the Circa Sportsbook. Follow the Money starts at 7 a.m. Eastern on October 28th. That's 12 hours of insider coverage live from the Circa grand opening event, all for free on VSiN.com. Join Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, the VSiN team, and a guest list full of Las Vegas icons and celebrities. The live stream starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, all for free, only on VSiN.com. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you live today, and pleased to be joined by Dave Ross, stadium host and MMA analyst. Dave, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm pretty pumped up for this fight card on Saturday night. And Mike, enjoyed you back in the playing days of the ATL, man. I used to watch you all the time.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time on the show, too. We are looking forward to this fight. UFC, well, all the fights, really. UFC 254, this card is spectacular. Before we get to the main events and certainly the main attractions on the card, I want to see if you can highlight a fight for us that you got your eyes on.
Well, I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with Walt Harris taking on Alexander Volkov on the main card. That fight is intriguing to me. I caught up with Walt 2 days ago over there in Abu Dhabi, and we had a very interesting conversation. For those that don't know the backstory, he lost his daughter. She was kidnapped and then murdered, and it was one of the most brutal stories of 2020. I don't know how you go on as a parent after something like that happens. And his story is so inspirational. And I asked him point blank, how do you go back to doing something at this level against, you know, absolute monsters in this heavyweight division? He was so close to a title shot before his last fight with Alistair Overeem, and deal with real life things that you have to deal with. And he said he feels like he owes it to the general public. It was cathartic for him even to get back into the octagon. He is such a bright outlook on life for somebody that's had to deal with what he's had to deal with. And he really is. He's a hard guy not to root for after you hear that backstory and to think, my goodness, you know, the things that maybe we complain about on a day in, day out with 2020, with COVID, with work, with the things you do, and to know what he's had to deal with. And he said the support he's gotten from the general public all across the world for people who have had to deal with something maybe not as traumatic as he has, but even on a smaller scale, he says he feels like he owes it to the fight fans that have supported him emotionally in this time. It's overwhelming, really, when you talk to a guy like that and then think he's got to put all that behind him, get into that octagon, and do what he does best. I'm just always curious to see how athletes can compartmentalize real life with work life. But it's an incredible story. You just wish it wasn't born from so much pain.
Dave, this is Josh Applebaum. Thanks so much for joining us on the program today. I got to let you know, I was never a huge UFC MMA bettor. And then over the pandemic, I had nothing else to bet on. And me and my girlfriend, I would force her every Saturday night to sweat the bouts with me. And I am like a huge MMA guy now. So you have a fantastic sport.
There you
and like
go.
The sweat. Yeah, the sweat of having having action on MMA fight is just unparalleled. But let me just ask you here, talking about this big fight here, because this is the biggest one in a long time here. We got Khabib 28-0, Gaethje 22-2. This is a pretty big line here toward Khabib. You know, it's he opened around minus 320. He's up to around minus 345. If you think Gaethje can pull off the upset, he's about plus 275, so not a bad number there. But how do you cap this fight? Is this as simple as Khabib is just awesome and he's going to win and just don't think about it too much? Or do you see a path to victory for Gaethje? Can he pull off the upset here?
Well, Josh, let's go with the or. You and the girlfriend should be on the edge of your couch on Saturday night watching this, especially if you want to put money in this live dog, because I absolutely love Justin Gaethje's chances of pulling off the upset. Wait, all the money's going to keep coming in on Khabib. His odds are just going to get better and better before Saturday. Because, guys, I look at it, I look at fights this way. How many ways do you have to win the fight? And to be perfectly honest, Justin Gaethje has more ways to win the fight than Khabib Nurmagomedov does. Now, that's not to say that Khabib, his one trick, is the best trick out there, right? We know that. He can wrestle anybody, including bears, and he's undefeated, okay? But Justin Gaethje in and of himself is an excellent wrestler. You just never see it because he never has to use it. So Justin's told me on several occasions in the past, look, he's called the human highlight reel for a reason, because he's going to go out there and put on a show and he wants the people to be entertained. That was Justin Gaethje when he got into the UFC. That's how he got to the UFC. And then when you actually see the skill set and to get to the elite of the lightweight division, now you see he's not all flash. He's got a lot of substance. And what he did to Tony Ferguson in the last outing was shocking on so many different levels, because I've never seen Tony Ferguson that confused and befuddled, and he had no chance in there with Justin. I'm not saying Justin Gaethje is going to outclass Khabib Nurmagomedov, but I'm telling you, he will be there. This will by no way, shape, or form be a cakewalk for Khabib. If Khabib is to retain his belt, he's going to earn it Saturday night.
Yeah, Khabib looks at this as a challenge, Dave. Certainly, I'm intrigued about the matchup. I want to know where Gaethje's getting the power from, like you mentioned, with the kicks and the strikes, but certainly his wrestling background.
Yeah, he can do anything, right? And again, he doesn't want to go down to the mat, but he might be forced to, and that would really be where the intrigue comes for me. Can Gaethje either, does he want to press the you know, takedown defense, or does he actually allow it to go down there and see what all the fuss is about with Khabib? I don't think that would be smart. But Khabib was supposed to take on Conor, and that was going to be the best striker he's ever faced. Look, in the first minute of that fight with Conor McGregor, Khabib did what he does best. He got him down to the mat within 1 minute of the first round, and Conor was on his back for 4 minutes. That's not going to be the case with Justin Gaethje. And also, if you go back to, say, the Ally Aquinta fight, which went the distance for Khabib, there was some mutual respect there, wrestler to wrestler, because he knew Ally Aquinta was no slouch on the ground. So knowing that going with Gaethje, he might actually stand up and trade. And if he does that, that's where the trouble could come for Khabib. So he's guys do this all the time, right? Where they fall in love with other skill sets. And Khabib is getting more comfortable on his feet. He did it in the third round with Conor and held his own with his hands, right? If he falls into that trap, or if the takedown defense for Justin is just too good that it can't get him down, which would really surprise me, that's where the trouble comes for Khabib, because he really, truly has not felt power and pressure like he's going to feel from Justin Gaethje.
Wow. Well, outstanding, Dave. Fired up, Dave Ross. I can't wait for this fight. I know Josh Applebaum and his girlfriend can't wait for this fight either. But, yeah, it's going to be spectacular this weekend. Thanks for your time today on the show.
Absolutely, fellas. Enjoy the fight.
Thank you very much. Up next, Josh and I will get back to the National Football League. That's up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Showtime at BetMGM Sports as baseball fans gear up for the World Series. Register today and win $100 in free bets. Just place a $1 moneyline wager on any World Series game. If any player in the game hits a home run, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use bonus code VSIN100 when you sign up to take advantage of this offer. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Download the app today and use bonus code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets if a home run is hit in a World Series game. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. Josh, it's always fun to have an MMA analyst on the show. Dave Ross was outstanding. Sometimes you want more breakdown of a fight, but I know you're looking forward to this UFC 254 fight card.
No, I can't wait. This is going to be fantastic. Huge weekend ahead. We got NFL, college, but really, I'm excited about this UFC slate. Dave was just fantastic. And I think he had a great breakdown here. You know, I think everything I'm looking at is like, it's Khabib. You know, he's getting a ridiculous amount of betting. Obviously, he's undefeated. You know, he's probably the best in the game. But I love the way that Dave laid it out and have different methods of winning here for Gaethje. So I know the sports books are probably rooting for Gaethje here. They probably have a ton of just ridiculous money coming in here on Khabib as the favorite. And I will say too, you know, to make it easy, go to Point Spread Weekly. It's our digital magazine at VSiN. Our guy Gamblin' Lou does a great job with his breakdowns of the cards, and Point Spread Weekly just came out today, VSiN.com/subscribe, so read his write-offs. But the other thing, Pritch, that I've kind of looked at, you know, I'm nowhere near Gamblin' Lou's, you know, expertise here with UFC, but I make it pretty simple. What I look for is a fighter or a matchup where the fighter is younger, is taller, has a longer reach, and has a line move in their favor. I know that's kind of a rudimentary way of breaking down bouts, but it's done pretty well for me just in general. And also looking at fighters that are kind of a lighter weight fighter, like 150 pounds or less. If you have liability to an over, like an over 2.5 rounds, I've had some success there, you know, just kind of grappling and not having a knockout. When you have heavy, you know, heavyweights, you know, one hit could knock them out. Maybe some unders come in. But yeah, height advantage, reach advantage, younger and a line move, and then kind of lighter fighters to the over. That's been working for me thus far.
Yeah, Dave Ross called him a live dog. Speaking of Gaethje, so you can follow Dave on Twitter at @DRossSports. Let's go get over to Major League Baseball because we're getting closer to Game 2, Dodgers and the Rays. Any information that you have for us, Josh? Any line movement that you that take note of here?
Yeah, so before we get to it, a very interesting line move here toward Tampa Bay. But, Pritch, we got to give ourselves a little bit of an applause here through one game. It's not much, but all those MVP. Remember we talked a lot about MVP odds yesterday with Josh Towers and looking at different guys? Yeah, so here are the updated MVP odds for the World Series. Mookie Betts, open plus 500. He's now plus 375. So lines, he's becoming more of a favorite after last night. Remember we talked about Cody Bellinger and Clayton Kershaw. Bellinger plus 1,000 down to 450. Kershaw plus 1,500 also down to 450. So a lot of guys we identified, line is moving in their favor. And again, if Josh Towers can hit that Kershaw MVP, man, that would be huge because we always, you know, coming into it, you thought he's not very good in the postseason, but silenced a lot of doubters last night. But yeah,
he did exactly what Josh said he was going to do, like making these guys miss in the dirt, right?
Exactly. And yeah, you get him, you know, a two strike count and a slider in the dirt. Yeah, that's why having Josh Towers on is fantastic, providing that that information. But yeah, Pritch, looking tonight here, obviously. Game two, Tampa Bay down 1-0 in the series. Dodgers up 1-0. I've seen a sharp move here to Tampa Bay. If you want to sweat the dog, if you want to sweat a plus money payout tonight, I think the Rays have a lot of value. You know, look at this spot here. Tickets are pretty much split. Slight lean here to the Dodgers off that big win last night. But I think you can buy low on a sharp line move on Tampa Bay tonight because the Dodgers opened as around a minus 145, minus 150 favorite. We've seen all day this line tumble. Fall toward the Tampa Bay Rays. So the Dodgers falling around minus 150 down to around minus 130. We talk about all the time, Pritch, when you have a big, what I would call 10-cent move or more, 15-cent move or more, that's really, really some respected money coming in. So this Rays payout has gotten smaller. The Rays going from around plus 135, plus 140 down to plus 122. This is a sharp reverse line move to Tampa Bay. Tells me that the value here is Tampa Bay. To you know, even up this series as we speak. But Pritch, what's your take on this game? You know, obviously the Dodgers look great. How can you not bet them tonight? But a lot of smart money. It's not like the Dodgers are becoming more of a favorite. They're becoming less of a favorite tonight. Maybe the Rays get to Gonsolin early.
And maybe, you know, I'm just looking at the Rays. My, you know, you look at that lineup for the Dodgers. You can't pitch around it. Glasnow tried to do that, right? And that cost him. Even though he had 8 strikeouts, he had 6 walks on top of that. So if you're Snell, you do not want to try to pitch around this lineup. But that doesn't mean you just groove pitches up there either. I mean, you still have to be creative. So I expect the Rays to battle back, produce runs to support Snell. You don't want to have a quick outing for Snell, that's for sure, because I think your chances of winning a title diminish if that's the case. So it's all about the Dodgers and how they respond in back-to-back fashion, consecutive nights in terms of trying to produce a lot of runs. We saw that in the Braves, right? They produced a ton of runs in that first inning and then Bupkis in that next game. So you have the Dodgers exploding offensively a little bit in game one. See if they can do that again in game two.
Yeah, and you bring up, you know, the offensive explosion there for the Dodgers. What's the total tonight? You know, look at the total. It opened at 8. It was kind of a little bit of liability over all day. This is a very lopsided over. Really, pretty much, you know, the public is all over the over, no pun intended here. You have almost 3 out of 4 bets. Pretty much everyone, Pritch, is taking the over tonight. So, and it kind of makes sense. You know, Gonsolin has a high ERA. You saw a lot of runs scored last night. But let me just kind of say, we're seeing some late respected money come in on the under here because this is one of the most lopsided plays here. You know, you look at the total here, it's 8 over minus 130, but the juice is changing across the market. Updated stats here, a lot of these 8 unders are now flipped here to around minus 115 or so. So it's kind of coming back the other way. This would be a very contrarian play to the under. You also look at, you know, who are the sports books be rooting for tonight? They'll be rooting for an under. If this game goes over, they're going to take a pretty big hit here. So keep an eye on that total. Even though it looks like too good to be true over, you're starting to see some late money come in the other way on the under.
Yeah, looking forward to that game. College football, you've noted some more movement here, Cincinnati and SMU.
Yeah, Pritch, this is a game I wanted to mention earlier in the show when we were talking about two ranked teams going head-to-head. And it was funny, we mentioned a lot of games that actually are going to the dog when this trend is actually to a favorite with two ranked teams going head-to-head. However, this is the one that would match, and this to me is one of the sharpest plays of the weekend. You're Cincinnati and SMU. So the Bearcats, they're 3-0. They're ranked 9th overall. Southern Methodist ranked 16th overall. They're 5-0. They've played more games than Cincy has. But Pritch, this is a big line move here toward SMU because you have Cincinnati. They open as a 2.5-point favorite here, or you know, around -2. This line is completely flipped. We're now seeing SMU -2.5. The public is on Cincy, but this line is completely flipping toward SMU. You know, the funny thing here is, you see Cincinnati too. They're coming off a bye week, so they have some extra rest in this one. But yet that really hasn't been a situation where the Sharps are leaning on that extra rest. They're actually going toward SMU's way. So big line move here that really caught my eye. SMU just flipped from a dog to a favorite in this matchup.
How about that? Cincinnati on a bye. SMU kind of struggled the last two games, go to overtime in their last game. So, but yet maybe the public sensed that, and that's why the early line or the early movement was with Cincinnati. Now it's shifting back to SMU.
You're exactly right, Pritch. And then let me get your take on a couple games here, because obviously, unfortunately, I won't see you for a week here, Pritch. But how about this Thursday night game? You know, we're talking tomorrow with the Giants and Philadelphia Eagles. I've seen a big move here toward the New York Giants. The Eagles obviously banged up two of their offensive weapons there, Ertz and Sanders. Both will be out for this game. Their offensive line has been taking some hits as well. But this game opened the Eagles -6 at home. Some books are even closer to 6.5. The public is all over Philly. The public still says, I don't like the Giants. I don't believe in them. I'm not going to back Danny Dimes. They still remember the Eagles winning that Super Bowl, which they still get credit for, even though it's years later. But two-thirds of bets in a heavily bet game, really the only show in, the only game in town tomorrow night, are going on the Eagles, laying the points. But this is what we call reverse line movement. Big majority of bets on the Eagles, yet this line has continued to fall toward the Giants. At one point, it even got down to Giants minus or the Eagles -3.5. You've seen a little bit of kind of natural buyback there toward the Eagles around today. This line is now settling at 4.5. But Pritch, what's your take here? Because I have a lot of system matches on the Giants. Contrarian heavily bet game, road divisional dog with a low total. The total is 45 in this one. And then also this COVID year line move where diminished home field advantage. When you see a line move toward a road team, it's covered 64% against the spread this year. So yeah, maybe Philly wins, but do you believe in the Giants here getting points? Can they keep it close?
You know what's interesting? The Giants are the only team that belongs in this situation. Think about it. Dallas isn't supposed to have this record. Philly's not supposed to have this record. The Giants are. And so if you're Coach Judge, I mean, you're using that, right? Like, you're using a young quarterback, you're using a young team saying, look, we could shock the world right now and win the division. And it starts this week against the Eagles. I like that. I mean, I don't know if that's a betting angle, but I like it from a coaching standpoint.
No, I agree with you. And you've got the taste of victory last week. You know, Judge, again, can he do what Flores did in Miami, where you start, you struggle, you take baby steps, you turn it on late in the year. Judge is from that Belichick tree, obviously. But to me, this is a classic. Cover up the names of the teams. Public's on Philly. Why is this line moving to the Giants? You also have to add in that divisional angle, that road move angle. So I'll be, even though the G-men broke my heart twice as a Patriots fan, Pritch, David Tyree and the Manningham game.
Oh man,
I'll be sweating the G-men with the points tomorrow night.
Fight them in the gutter, Josh. That's what I say. If they want to hang out with us down here, great job as always. We'll see you in the future next week, but we'll also see you on VSiN throughout the weekend as well. Coming up next, my guys in the desert. That'll do it for us today. Thanks for watching and listening. My guys in the desert coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.